It time?
It's time.
All right. Well, then, without further ado, it is your opportunity to communicate with us. This is TalkBack. And TalkBack is our show where we highlight your emails, your letters, your video presentations, if that's what you want to give us, or just send us a sound file attached to an email and we will play your words on our radio station. We're happy to do that. I got an email this week from Dave, and Dave says, hi, John. When I last rode in December, my garage was overrun by shrews. Must have whacked 16 shrews and a couple of voles in a two-week period. After the onslaught was done, I haven't trapped a shrew since that time. So did I wipe out an entire population, or do they finally go and hibernate someplace, hopefully under the snow and not just snoozing in the garage? Well, in the case of the shrews, Dave, well, first of all those furry little mammals that run around like mice and voles and whatnot, they can't accumulate enough body fat to hibernate. So they spend most of their waking days, especially shrews, awake and aware and hunting. And my guess is that you've simply removed the food sources from your garage and the shrews have moved on to better grounds, better places to find their food. But, you know, if you, I don't even know how you trap a shrew. Most of them are too small to get in a trap. So anyway, good luck with your garage, Dave. And I hope that those little critters are doing fine under the snow in your yard and staying out of the grips of the owls who are searching for them. We also heard from another good friend and another Dave. He said, I was interested in your description of pileated woodpecker behavior starting at the bottom of a tree and working its way up. I have noticed that behavior for quite some time this winter, but only in the males. We have at least three that come by for some suet that we put out, two males and a female. All winter, the males have typically landed near the bottom of the trees with the suet, peck a bit, and then work up to the suet. The female has always landed near the suet until very recently. Now she will land near the bottom and work her way up. Part of the behavior of pileated woodpeckers this time of year, and I'm going to talk more about them on the phenology show this morning, so tune in for that at about 20 minutes after 7. And we will talk a bit more about their behavior. But they are, right now, they are searching out colonies of carpenter ants that are sleeping at the base of certain trees. And whether or not they can smell the ants or hear the ants moving about, it's not clearly known, but they do chop big holes into the base of trees, and invariably they pick the trees that have the ants. They somehow know. They don't make many false moves on that one. So we'll check that out some more for you, Dave, and we'll talk a bit more about it during the phenology show. And then we got a nice little note from a friend, and Heidi. This one concerns both of us. He says, Dear Mr. Latimer, I am a physician and a writer in the Twin Cities. I really enjoy your phenology pieces on KAXE. I wish they were longer. And I I often feel that I speak way too long as it is. I wrote back, Dr. Bowron, thank you for your kind note. I took a little time and read through your posts, blah, blah, blah. I often think how difficult it would be if I were on another radio station. They would trim me down to 4 or 5 minutes and make me produce the hell out of it. Here on KAXE, they just turn me loose. I sometimes think that I go on too long and that most listeners have switched channels. So it's refreshing to find that not everyone thinks I drone on too long. And I asked him to share any notes that he might have. And he replied, Great art makes a person pay attention, and yours does that by rising above the panicked, overproduced, hyperventilating radio we are treated to down here in uncivilization. Your work and the morning show when you and Heidi on are in when you and Heidi are in the booth breathes. From my perspective, keep droning. He goes on to say, and I think this is really quite interesting. This is a doctor now. I'm very partial to your subject matter, nature. The term environmentalist drives me crazy. If you are an aerobic creature, then you need oxygen to live. And if you don't make oxygen, then you need someone else who does. That's the trees and plants and blue-green algae. So it turns out we are all environmentalists, each and every one of us, every 5 or 6 seconds. We ignore and dismiss nature at our own great peril. Keep at it. Heidi, a little compliment for both of us there. I hope that you will drone on with me one day.
I have controls over how long you get to drone. That's always good for me.
And I thank you for that. Somebody needs to watch out for me. And from Sam and Wendy, and this sounded really interesting. Sam and Wendy live in Cross Lake, and they said, over the past weekend, we made a trip on Saturday to travel the Northwest Angle Ice Road to the Northwest Angle and the northernmost point in the lower 48 states. It was a fascinating day and experience. On the return journey southward on the ice road across the Lake of the Woods, we observed a phenomenon we have never witnessed before. We observed not one, but two separate what we are calling snow devil slash snow-nados swirling and traveling across the ice on the lake. It may be too late for tomorrow's show, but we would like to pose a question to you and Tornado Bob to discuss exactly what these are and how they form and if they are commonly seen. We love KAXE and the show, and we'll be anxious to hear any information you can share. Thanks for all you do, Sam and Wendy. And we will bring that up with Tornado Bob and get the true picture on that, because, you know, I could go ahead and make something up, but you'd recognize that it's just made up stuff. And then our last email comes from Peter, and he says, a report from our feeders in Long Lost Lake in Clearwater County. These have been around all winter, eating both oil and sunflower seeds and safflower seeds from our covered feeders, chickadees and nuthatches. Blue jays eating both oil sunflower seeds on the ground and from the covered feeder, and picking up bits of suet on the ground below the suet feeders. A flock of 7 turkeys eating at our 4 suet feeders, a downy woodpecker, a hairy woodpecker, and occasionally a pileated woodpecker. Over the past 2 weeks, eating oil sunflower seeds, we've had evening grosbeaks and pine grosbeaks only on the ground, as you and Harry have said just a few months ago. And today, a flock of red poles at our thistle feeder. And he said, I stumbled across a way to squirrel-proof our feeders. One enterprising red squirrel had chewed a hole in the top of the plastic tub to get the oil sunflower seeds. I decided that such initiatives deserve rewards, so I kept using the tub. Our squirrel has been joined by 5 others popping in and out of the tub, but not one of them has tried to get any seed or suet feeder from Peter. So thank you, Peter, for those notes.